As mentioned at the beginning of Mass, we continue to celebrate the Christmas season. I can feel a little overkill sometimes. It's like, Father, we get it. It's still Christmas season. But honestly, I've been hearing Christmas music and seeing decorations since Thanksgiving. So feels like I'm not ready to be done with Christmas, but you don't need to tell us all the time, Father. And I can feel like as Catholics, maybe we kind of drag it out a little more than it needs to. But I think that's because when we think of Christmas, we just want to go back to the manger. We feel like we're called to this scene of Jesus' birth. And there's a lot that we can rejoice in that. But as we celebrate the following feasts of the Holy Family, Mary the Mother of God, and today the Epiphany, I think we're called to see that the Christmas story, the story of God becoming man, doesn't stop with his birth. But that it's a story that he wants to continue to tell, that continues to evolve throughout the coming days and even years of the life of Christ. But actually, I think that's what the Magi were searching for. That's what they trusted in, was that the story that God was writing was not finished. That there was something that he was going to continue to do. Because the reason we believe that the Magi are from the East and probably from Persia or around modern-day Iraq is because it seems like they knew the prophecies of the Old Testament, probably from the time of the Babylonian exile, around the time when the prophet Daniel was writing the book of Daniel. And that was about 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. So about 1,000 years before this, they had encountered these people, the Israelites, who had been taken out of their own homeland. They've talked of this coming Messiah, that God would send someone to be anointed to save his people. And then generation after generation, it wasn't the same people that heard Daniel preaching, but generation after generation, they remind us of the promise of God. And for 1,000 years, these Magi were part of probably a very select group of people that still remembered these promises and trusted that God was not done with his story. And I imagine there were lots of people that through that time said, well, you know, it's been a couple hundred years, so maybe it's time that we don't worry about that promise anymore. Maybe we just realize that God was not really going to do anything with that and move on with our lives. But these Magi were ones that said, no, God is still writing a story. He is still doing something, and we want to be alert and ready to follow him. I think that's what they were thinking as they followed the star, not just for a few days, but probably for weeks, in search of this newborn king. That I'm sure there were times of discouragement, times that they thought, well, maybe we're just not right. Maybe this is all just a figment of our imagination. Let's just turn back and go home. Or I wonder how they felt when they arrived in Jerusalem expecting to be late to the party, expecting the whole city to be rejoicing at this newborn king, probably living in the palace that they would come to visit. And then they come and see King Herod, and Herod doesn't seem to know what's going on. Right, the one that they would expected to know exactly who this newborn king was really has no idea what they're talking about. Right, I think if I was there with the Magi, I would have been like, so guys, now's the time we just go back home, right? Now's the time that we realize that we thought something was happening, it's not happening. Good try. We'll go back home. But no, they still believe that God is doing something in their lives. They believe God is still writing that story. So that's why when they see that star that's leading them down to the town of Bethlehem from Jerusalem, it says they were overjoyed at seeing the star. In other words, I think they were overjoyed at seeing that God was still working in their lives, that he was still present, that he was still working in that moment. That it wasn't a figment of their imagination. It wasn't just something that they were tricked by, but he was still there. So they come and arrive at that house with Mary and the Christ child. They come and see that they're called to bring him these great gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Not gifts that are very useful for Mary or Joseph, but to remind us of the identity of Jesus, remind us who he is. That he is a great king, that he is a priest meant to offer prayers and sacrifice for others, and that it is precisely by his death that he will lead to the salvation of all humanity. And I think as Mary received these gifts, she would be reminded of a similar thing. That the story of Christ wasn't just for him to come and be born among us and to live, and her job was just to protect him and make sure nothing bad happens. This was pointing forward to ultimately his death, to the fact that he was called to show us how to love others as God loves us. that up to that point she had seen no reason to believe in his earthly life that he was a king or a great priest. And yet these gifts were a reminder that God was doing something through him, that the story that God was writing was still in the process, that she was called to still be obedient to him. Brothers and sisters, I think that's what God calls us to, especially as we begin this new year of 2022. That we too realize that the story God's writing is still present in our lives. That it wasn't just for a moment, wasn't just for Christmas or when we received our sacraments like baptism and confirmation and marriage. But that story continues to evolve and continues to be proclaimed in our lives. That as we heard from St. Paul in the second reading, that we're called to be partners in the promise in Jesus Christ through the Gospels. Not just sitting back and looking at all the nice things that God does, but seeing we actually have an active part in proclaiming his good news and receiving his love from others. St. Ignatius of Loyola often talked about that as the golden thread. That he saw a great golden thread that God was weaving, a great tapestry, a great work of art. And that our job was just to follow little by little this golden thread. Sometimes it would go up and down. Sometimes it would swerve in places that we wouldn't expect. But our job is to see that the story is still evolving, that it's still being written, and we're called to proclaim that good news to others. So let us try to do that in this new year, to see how God is calling to write that story in our own lives, trusting like the wise men and like Mary, that he still wants to do that within us, that story is not yet finished. In fact, I think the best way to think about that is actually the Magi's return back to their homeland. That they see that we're just called to come and drop off these gifts and go back home because they have to go back by a different way. They're told in a dream not to go back and see Herod. So they go back and they go to their homeland, and we really hear nothing more about them in the Gospels or in all of the Scriptures. There's a loose tradition of their names, but really other than that, we know nothing about what happened to them when they went back home. It's part of the reason we don't know exactly where they're from. But I believe that they went back and they were different. And that they went back and told them, do you remember those promises that the Israelites talked about? That God would send an anointed one? Well, we have met him. We saw him as a child born of this humble couple of Nazareth. We gave him these great gifts, and we believe that God is going to do something incredible through him. I imagine a lot of the people around them would have maybe rolled their eyes or thought, so it's kind of like the promises we've heard about for hundreds and hundreds of years. It might be nice for the three of you to believe that and to have seen him, but it doesn't really mean anything for my life. I'd imagine for all the people that the Magi told this story to, very few of them really believed it or changed much of their lives. And yet I wonder if those were the seeds that were planted so that the apostles could go and preach the gospel to that land. At 30, 40 years later, when one of the apostles, probably St. Thomas, who traditionally went to the east, and maybe a St. Thomas comes into their homeland, he comes to tell the people of this Messiah, this Jesus born of Nazareth, who came to save us from our sins. And then the people would hear maybe the memory of those Magi. They'd say, wait a minute, there was this child born of a couple of Nazareth? Well, was he born in Bethlehem? Because, see, we had a story of these guys. And they went and they met this child that they called the Messiah in Bethlehem. They brought him gifts and told us that something great would happen because of him. And then I doubt that the Magi themselves were still alive to hear any of this. But it was precisely by following that golden thread, by believing that the story that God was telling wasn't finished, that they kind of laid the foundation. They tilled the soil so that others could receive the seed of God's word, so that when the apostles proclaimed it, they could be converted and fall in love with Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let us begin this new year in that way, seeking to follow that golden thread of God's story in our life. Let us have great faith and trust that he has not stopped telling his story, but instead that story wants to become flesh in our lives, to share his love and his good news with all who need it.